Well, welcome to our class, The Alliance of Honorable Men. This is the book that you should be looking out of. If you don't have this book yet, please let one of the ladies know after class. Those that watch up on the internet, this is the book you should have. You should have received it in the mail. If you haven't received it yet, it is on the way. I'm going to pray first. Then I'm going to get into what this class is about, get into our exams, what our exam is going to consist of. And then we'll go forward from there. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the apostolic grace that is on this particular training center, Father. Thank you for each and every person that is here and also every family that they represent. Father, I thank you for your grace being in this place. Holy Spirit, as always, you're the only one that can escort us inside the mind of God so that we can then understand the things that God has called us to. Thank you for every person that is watching by internet and or by Roku. And Father, we be sure to give you all the glory. And finally, but not least, Jesus, thank you so much for dying on the cross and putting us in this position that we can sit at your feet and learn more about you. We give you glory and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so this is The Lives of Honorable Men. You're going to thoroughly enjoy this class. I am now basically on about my sixth time reading this book. Every time I read this book, I get something else out of it. So you're going to, this book is going to really shake up your theology. It's going to shake up the religion that you know. It's going to shake up your service. We're going to see a whole new level of service, a whole new level of commitment, a whole new level of being honorable. So you're going to thoroughly enjoy this class. We will be together the whole year. We will have this book in this particular class the whole year, so you don't have to worry about changing books or anything. We will go through this book chapter by chapter and page by page. So some things I will cover, some things I won't cover, which leads me to my exams. Now, my exams are going to be a little different than everybody else's. My exams are going to be open book. Don't cheer just yet, because my open book exams are for a reason. Everything I do in this class is going to be for a particular reason. I'm an avid reader. I love to read. I read all the time. And so I think by reading, you gain things that people don't always tell you. Also in reading, and you all know this, I'm just explaining it. Also in reading, what happens too is your thoughts get to moving around. When you read a particular passage, this is going to happen to you in this book. A certain scripture going to jump out at you, and it's going to look different than it looked before. That's no more than the Holy Spirit giving you another perspective on what that scripture really means. So I'm an avid reader, so our exams will be open book. It's probably going to cover chapters that I don't cover as thorough as I want to. All you have to do to pass my exams, listen to that, internet, all you have to do to pass this exam is read the chapter. If you read the chapter, you will pass the exam, because the exam is going to be simply fill in the blank. I'm going to ask for correct spelling. I'm going to ask for, the reason why I'm asking for correct spelling, number one, you got the answer in front of you. Number two, the second reason why I ask for correct spelling is because of accuracy. Accuracy. See, the Holy Spirit, we have to be accurate when dealing with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit tell us to get gopher wood, we can't go looking for oak. We got to get gopher wood. Can you imagine if Noah would have been looking for oak? What would probably have happened? That whole boat would have probably sunk. But he had the Holy Spirit, God, I won't go for wood. So we have to be accurate. So that's why I'll be asking for correct spelling. But if you can read, fill in the blanks, you'll pass my exams. And don't think you just skim the chapter and be able to get the answer, because you're going to have to search for it. You're going to have to really read to catch a hold of that information. All right? So it's going to be very easy. All it's going to do is challenge your reading. If you're not an avid reader, you will become an avid reader after this year, because you will be forced to read, all right? This particular book, The Alliance of Honorable Men, we're going to start in chapter 1. This particular book is what I like to say is going to be one of the foundational That's hence why it's first year, why it's one of the first books you get a hold of. It's going to be foundation in you understanding government in the church, understanding how it operates, understanding the apostleship, understanding how the other five, other parts of the fivefold work with the apostle. You're going to have later on tonight the culture of honor with Reverend John Davis and how we have to learn to respect each other. We're going to deal with grace a lot in this particular book. We're going to see a whole new light of grace. Matter of fact, I think today the way grace is being taught as a power that can only cover our sins. But grace only covers our sins because Adam fell. The original purpose of grace was to empower us to do what God has called us to do. All right? Hear me very clearly. Grace is not just to cover our sins. The original purpose of grace was to empower us to do what God had called us to do, because we definitely can't do it on our own. So we can't live right on our own. That's why grace has to come in to help alleviate and cover our sins so that it'll be blotted out from our record. All right? But that is not the original purpose of grace. So if you ever hear grace being taught as you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, God gonna cover it, that's abusing grace. That's abusing it. And that's misusing grace. And after a while, God will get tired of that misuse. Because what we don't realize is that whatever decision we make, whatever decision or choices we make, there are consequences for those decisions. And grace cannot eliminate the consequences. It can only make the consequences go smoother for us. But you have to go through the consequences. Are you seeing this? So we're going to deal with grace a lot in this particular book. In this first chapter, we're talking about church unusual. And I love the way this chapter is titled, because we can't keep having church as normal and expect different results. You know, we can't just expect to be going to church on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and watch this. I'm going to get my word. That's going to have to change. When you say I'm going to get my word, that means you ain't thinking about what God wants. You ain't thinking about what nobody else wants. You're just trying to go to church to get your word. So therefore, you limit and you focus. When you go to church, you're focusing now on, God, what do you have to say to me so that I can help myself? And that's not how God operates, and we're going to learn this. God is about covenant. And we're going to really delve into covenant. We're going to get into covenant because we understand covenant with God. But what we don't have a full understanding of is covenant with each other. And if we don't have covenant with each other, then our covenant with God will not be effective. It won't be effective. We don't have covenant with each other. If definition of covenant, what covenant does? Let me not define covenant, because we define covenant. You know pretty much what covenant is. Let me tell you what covenant really is supposed to do. Covenant is supposed to cover each other's weaknesses. That's what covenant does. Covenant covers each other's weakness. So therefore, you will not be able to cover each other's weaknesses in the natural. Because in the natural, we tick each other off. In the natural, we have different personalities. In the natural, we make each other mad. So we have to learn how to cover each other's weaknesses and not leave the other person out to fend for themselves. Am I making sense? So church can't be just about what God can do for me. It's now going to have to be, God, what can I do for you? And what do you want to do through me? Look at the difference. It's not, God, what can you do for me? It's, God, what can you do through me? Now, here's the funny thing about God. Matter of fact, turn to John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter. Hope you listen out there on the internet. Listen very carefully. John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter, verse 1. Start there. Jesus talking. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. So here it is, Jesus saying, look, you're going to have to abide in me. You're going to have to abide by my rules. You're going to have to abide by how I design life to be. Now, here's the great thing about God. Here's the great thing about the Father. Jesus said, I'm the vine, we're the branches, right? That's what he said. If we're the branches and we abide in him, then whatever is flowing in the veins of Jesus flows in our veins. So that means if God wants to flow through us, I've never been able to pour water in a glass without getting water on the side of the glass. Understand what I'm saying? I've never been able to pour oil down a funnel and not get oil on the funnel. So it's not about God pouring oil on you. It's about God pouring the all through you. And the residue that is left will take care of everything that you can ever desire. So our focus should not be on us. Matter of fact, the way church has to change, and it's going to be church unusual, because it's no longer, God, I'm coming to church so I can get a word, so I can get my victory. God, I'm coming to church so I can get a word, so I can get my breakthrough. God, I'm coming to church, so I'm dealing with this. God, I'm coming to church, and my mind is on, God, what are you going to tell me that's going to get me out of my situation? So now when God gets ready to talk to you about anything else, you're not really focused on trying to hear that, because you're only focused on yourself. Are you seeing this? So church has to change, because now I'm going to hear a word from God. I'm going to hear a man, a woman of God, because I want God to speak to me and speak to me about what he wants me to do for him. So I cannot, I have to change my mentality. You say, well, what about my issues? What about my problems? How am I going to deal with my issues? I'm glad you asked. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. This is by far my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. Matthew, the 6th chapter. I won't read the whole chapter, but you really need to read the whole chapter, because if you never read it from verse 1 to verse 34, you need to. I mean, just without stopping. Don't pick out your favorite verse. Just read it from 1 through 34. And you're going to see Jesus tells us how to pray. Very simple prayer. Jesus was very simple in his application of who God called him to be. Jesus taught him how to pray in that chapter. Jesus told him what to worry about, what not to worry about. Jesus told him what to focus on. And I'm going to read verse 33. That's probably the most famous scripture out of that particular chapter. But I want to read it for a reason, because it says something very clear here. It says in the 33rd verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew, listen, it says, but seek ye first. First of all, it says, but seek ye first. That means everything, the word but means everything before that has to be eliminated from your focus. Everything has to be eliminated from your focus. No matter what you're going through, it has to be eliminated from your focus. Because what Satan does, here's the trick of the enemy. The trick of the enemy is to get your attention off of the voice of God and onto your situation. If he can get your focus off of the word of God, off of hearing the voice of God, then that means that he can take you where he wants you to take you, because you cannot deal with your situation on your own. You can't deal with it on your own. You've been trying, but you can't. So why focus on what you can't fix? But you can focus on what God has empowered you to do. So here it is. But seek ye what? First, the kingdom. Kingdom simply means government, the way things operate. Seek ye first God's ways of doing things, how he wants to structure things, how he wants to order things, how he wants things done, and his righteousness, and his right way to do things. There are right way to do things, and there's God right way to do things. It is right that you ought to give. It's right. But if you don't give what God has told you to give, then you right for giving, but you wrong for disobeying. So you're not in his righteousness. Does that make sense? So this is why he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way to do things. All right. And what he said, and what? All these things will be added unto you. Not all the things that you're looking for, but all the things that you, watch this, what things? The 32nd verse tells us what things. Look at the 32nd verse. See, I'm trying, while I'm taking my time doing this, because I haven't even got into the book yet, because when we start dealing with unusual church, it is going to be taking the focus off of you, taking the focus off of your problems, taking the focus off of what you want, and putting on what God wants. Are you seeing this? So I want to take time to show you that you can relax and understand that God knows what you want. How he knows what you want. Psalms, I think it's 37:4 says it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Notice it said, delight yourself in the Lord. That don't mean you just get happy on Sunday mornings, and you just wave, you give a good wave offering that morning. You give a good shout that morning. No, that actually means you take pleasure. That means you breathe in God. That means you breathe in is God. You breathe out is God. Every person you talk to, they're going to get uncomfortable with you, because some way, somehow, God going to be intertwined in the conversation. You know what I'm saying? Not that you're being super spiritual, but don't talk to me too long, because eventually we're going to wind back up on God somewhere. Because that's who I am. This is who I am. In him I live, I move, and I have my being. I don't know anything else. I don't want to know anything else. But Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, so being consumed with God. Watch this. He'll give you desires because you're just consumed with him. Watch this. He said at verse 32. For watch this. For after all these what? Things. Listen to me, internet. Things. Do the Gentiles seek? Now, what do the Gentiles seek? They ain't seeking Jesus. That's simply like that. They're not seeking Jesus. They're not seeking him. Yeah, I mean, they're looking for the houses. They're looking for the good life. They're looking for the cars. They're looking for the money. They're looking for those things, those superficial things they think going to make life more pleasurable for them. They don't know they need Jesus. That's what we hear. They don't know they need him. They know they know somebody's out there for. They know there's a bigger somebody big in the universe, but they don't quite understand all what's going on. So when they get up in the morning, clothes on. I was driving the other day, driving my daughter to school, and I told my wife when I got back home, I said, everybody, please put your seatbelts on, because in the morning traffic, those people trying to get to that job because they need that money. And they will run you over. I mean, I was doing 75 interstate, and a guy literally walked, I mean, ran by me. So he had to be doing 90, 95, trying, what's Gentiles, trying, they trying to go after that money. But here it is, God says that we don't have to go after those things, that, watch this, if we seek him first, let me rephrase that. Seek his ways of doing things first. See, because a lot of people seek God, but when God tell them what he really wants, they ain't too happy with that. Because it wasn't lining up with what they thought they wanted to do. Watch this, verse 32. For your heavenly Father, what? Knoweth. Knows. He knows that ye have need. Wait a minute, I thought we were dealing with desires. Here it is. Jesus then turned desires to needs. So God know you need to live the good life. He knows you need that dream home. He knows you need that car, your dreams. He knows you need this. Watch this. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of. Oh, would you please underline that in your Bible? All. Highlight it, whatever. All these things. But then he comes back and say, but. So what Jesus was telling us was, hey, I understand the cares of life. I understand necessities of life. I understand desires. I put those desires there. I understand those things. God said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you and what? An expected end. That means God, before the foundation of the earth, had already planned out our lives. And watch this. Here's the vastness of God. When he created the Garden of Eden, he put everything needed in the Garden of Eden to take care of you and I, and we were nowhere even in the picture. He placed all those things in the garden. Are you seeing this? So when he says that 33rd verse, but seek ye first, what he was saying is, I don't want your focus on these things. I want your focus on my kingdom or my ways of doing things. And doing them my way right. So that means I have to spend time with God to find out what he wants. Not only what he wants, but how he wants it done. I can't just find out what he wants, then go do it my way. I have to find out what he wants and stay with him long enough and let him walk me through it long enough till I now find out how he wants it done. Are we seeing this? So Church Unusual now is going to be no longer I'm coming to church for me. Or no longer am I coming to hear a word just for me. God, I'm really coming because I want to know what you want. God, what will you have me to do? Because here we just proved it. If I can ever find out what God wants, and I can find out how he wants it done, and I get it done, what he said he's going to do? Verse 33. That's what he said. He's going to add all these things unto you. So it's no more now you spending your prayer time asking God for this stuff. Now your prayer time is spent, God, what do you want? God, what do you need from me? God, how can I better be plugged in where you've planted me? God, what is it that you want me to do? God, what is it you want to do today? God, who am I going to cross paths today that you want to touch today? Who is it, God? What is it? How you want me to do it? Are you seeing this? Because it's better for me to spend my time doing that. Because if I do that and understand what God wants and get it done, that means God going to come back and begin to add some things to me. Things, go to Ephesians, the third chapter. Ephesians, the third chapter. Watch this, Ephesians, third chapter. And the 13th verse, we're very familiar. Watch this, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now, I read what I told you? Ephesians, not Galatians. I meant Ephesians. Let me get there. I thought I looked at it. I'm all in Galatians, huh? Ephesians 3:20. My notes. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Now in him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You see that now? According to the power that worketh in us. According to the what? That what? Works in us. So that means if I don't have that power working through me, God can't do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. So that means there's some things that got to be done in order to activate the exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. So my point for that, before we go to Galatians 3:13, my point for that was you don't have to worry about where your stuff going to come from. Because whenever you get done what God wants to get done, that means God comes in, and why his thing? He can't just do exactly what you want. He just can't give you the exact house of your dreams. He can't just give you the exact car. He can't just give you the exact money. He can't just give you the exact, because that means that now he's on your level. That means now God has to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask. A thing, so he can let you know, I'm God, and I appreciate you, and I love you, and I want you to have the best. So I can't just give you exactly what you're asking for. I just can't give you exactly what you're desiring. Are you seeing this? Turn back to Matthew 6, chapter 33rd verse. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, what Jesus is asking us to do, he's asking us to do Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written. Curse is everyone that what? Hangeth on the tree. Now, that scripture puzzled me for a long time. Curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree. What Jesus was asking us to do was to go through the same formula that he went through, but not the same method. In other words, he sacrificed his life for mankind. He wants us to sacrifice our life, but we ain't got to do it hanging on no cross. Are you seeing this? And God is, watch this, sacrificing your life. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. And this is very important for you to understand the true meaning of sacrifice, because sacrifice is not it doesn't mean you're missing out on something. See, don't think sacrifice like, I got to do this so I can't do that. God used the word sacrifice, it is a means of promotion. Every time God used the word sacrifice, it is a means of promotion. How is it a means of promotion? Because first of all, God is a good God. So God ain't going to take something away from you that could have added to you, or allow you to put something down that could have added to you and not replace it with something that is better. Where I told you to turn? Romans 12. Watch this. Now, in the book, you're going to see where Jacob spent 20 years, trying to get the right wife and trying to do this and trying to do that. And in them 20 years, From the time he met God the first time until he met God after the first 20 years, those first 20 years was God allowing his flesh to be broken. Because Jacob was trying to do everything himself. Now, mind you now, he had the blessing. He had the blessing. But he still was trying to do everything for himself. That sounds so familiar. It sounds so familiar. You will not have any more grace outside of your birthright. Other words, you will not have any more power than you were born to have. You can't do what you ain't called to do. You can't accomplish what God hadn't destined for you to accomplish. See, I need you to see church unusual now. Things changing, paradigm shifting. We have to learn to disconnect our income from our performance. The world system connects income to performance. So thus now, that's why you hear people say, you know, I ain't working all that hard. They ain't paying me enough. Or you might hear this statement, man, look, they ain't paying me enough, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to just relax right here in this corner so nobody don't see me. I'm going to just kill this time because they really ain't paying me anyway. You know, maybe you have said that, you know. Are you seeing this? Because the world system connects income to performance. God connects your income to your seed. This is going to be, I guess, a key statement. Because if you don't understand that statement, you're going to have issues with government. Because according to the world system, now I'm about to go on a limb now, even in the church world, most people figure the only way that I can prosper is I have a big ministry. And I have a lot of people giving to my ministry. And that's so far from the truth. That's so far from the truth. So far from the truth. You got big ministries that ain't doing what God called them to do. Because they Jacob. They trying to do things on their own. So when you make a decision to do things on your own and you don't want to do what God has asked you to do, you're now responsible for the bills that what you do create. So now, watch this. Your focus is no longer on what God wants. Your focus is on, I'm trying to get these people to believe I know what God wants so I can get them to sow. We in school. This is going to be real. This is going to be real. This is apostolic. This is we got to get these things in order. Because the freest, watch this, the freest place you'll ever be, listen to me, internet, the freest place that you'll ever be is in the government of God. Adam and Eve, the freest place they were was in the Garden of Eden. They didn't have no sickness, no disease. They didn't have no wants. They didn't have no issues. But because there's one simple fact that they wanted to be like God without him. They wanted to know right from wrong without him telling it to them. They wanted to be in control of their own destiny without God's influence. So simply, God said, okay, there's no problem. That's okay. You can have this, but you can't have it here. Are you seeing this? So we have to learn to disconnect our income from our performance, which means when you separate the two and you connect your income to your seed and connect your performance to the voice of God. This is good. Connect your seed to your income and your income to your seed. Does that mean you quit your job tomorrow? Nope, that ain't what I said. That's not what I said. Right now, a lot of Christians are on the drug called the world system. They're on a drug called the world system, and they have to go through withdrawals. So that means it's going to take a period of time to get the world system out of your system. So that means you can't be just coming up and doing crazy, talking about, oh, I'm going to connect my income to my seed. I'm going to quit my job. Because if you ain't got no seed to sow, you're going to be in trouble. So if I connect my income to my seed, and my seed to my income, and I connect my performance to what God says and what God says to my performance, see, then I can rely on the power of God. Then I can rely on the grace that he's placed me in. Are you seeing this? So Jacob, God had to allow him to spend 20 years beating his head against the rocks until his flesh was completely broken. That's when Jacob had that dream, and him and the angel wrestled, and an angel touched him in his hip. He ain't walked the same. He didn't feel the same, because at that moment, he had just realized that what God was asking him to do, he wasn't going to be able to do it within himself. Are you seeing this? So we have to understand that in order for us to do what God is asking us to do, we're going to have to kill the flesh. Romans 12. We're going to have to kill it. Killing the flesh doesn't necessarily mean you got to take a knife and begin to cut yourself. Y'all know this. I'm being funny. What I mean by killing the flesh, what I really mean is killing your will. Killing how you think ministry ought to go. Killing how you think God's kingdom ought to operate. Some of y'all might have to kill some ministries in here that you thought you had. We in school. Romans 12, the first verse. This is Paul talking. Paul said, I beseech you, brother, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that what? Ye, or you, present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Wait a minute, that don't make no sense, because every sacrifice I've known previously have been dead. So here it is. Paul is telling us that we ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice. So that means that while you're alive, there's something you got to kill. And it ain't your flesh. It ain't your flesh and blood. So when you talk about the flesh, you got to be talking about something else that resides in your flesh, which is your will. You know, God, I want to do it this way. God, I don't want to submit here. God, I don't want to have it this way. Jacob went through this. Jacob tried to do it his own way and kept running. And he kept running them 20 years and kept messing them 20 years till he had nothing left. Because whenever God touched him, the angel touched him, broke him down, broke his flesh down, he realized, I'm going to need God. I'm going to shift from the natural into the supernatural to get this done. I can't walk in the blessing. I have the blessing of Isaac. He laid hands on me. But I can't walk in it if I don't walk in it. How? Isaac walked in it. Are you seeing this? See, leads me to this point. How much time I got left? By 12 minutes, all right. I get tired of people going around, and we do this bad in the body of Christ. I want to glean from your anointing. I want to sow into your anointing so I can get that anointing on my life. Wait a minute. I got issues with that. Because what that simply means is I want to glean because I want to sow into the anointing. You ain't never even bothered to find out why that person is anointed like they're anointed. Why God put that grace on their life? So now what you think is you're going to take money, sow into that person, and all of a sudden that anointing that they paid a price for is going to jump on you. No. Uh-uh. That's not how it's going to happen. See, so because now we sound like that sorcerer that wanted to buy that gift and everything from Peter. You got Christians all over the body of Christ doing that.
They think because now I'm gonna sow this couple of times and I'm gonna get this anointed. I know people right now, they be sowing to Dr. Thompson, and then the ministers be going to sow to Dr. Thompson, and they try to walk around and try. What? Try to preach this message word for word, but not even concerned about what God has called him to do. Are you seeing this? So Jacob, watch this. Jacob had to understand why his father was anointed. Not just the anointing, not just the blessing. Because he could not walk in the covenant of Abraham until he got that flesh out of the way. Because if you mind, if you remember, Abraham went through the same process. Because God told him, leave your mother and father and go to a land I'm going to show you. Times got tough. He ran straight to Egypt. God had to get him out of a jam that time because Pharaoh done took his wife. God had to get him out of a jam. Next time God talked to Abraham, Abraham said, God, all right, you done gave me all this stuff. Because that time Abraham had went through a process. Abraham started seeing the power of God work on his life. He done went and fought some battles. Won some people back. People tried to give him money. He said, no, I don't want you to make me rich. I don't want God to take claim for this. He got to be tied to Melchizedek. Then Abraham getting that 15th chapter, that first verse, God said, I'm your rapidly increasing money supply. That's what that verse really means. So Abraham said, God, you done gave me all this stuff, but I don't want to leave this to my servant Eleazar. God said, no, I'm going to give you a son. And in that 15th chapter, God cut covenant with Abram, promising him a son. But he had to put Abram to sleep. Why? To get that flesh out of the way. Later on, Abraham had to circumcise himself. What that represent? Him cutting away the flesh. See, our flesh have to get out of the way. God can't, when I say our flesh, I'm meaning not just your physical body. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when God speaks to you and tells you to do something and it causes you to lose ego. You have to be willing to do it. We have to swallow your pride and say, hey, God, I don't know about this in this area. Okay, you told me to submit. I need to submit in this area. The first thing God wants for every one of his new believers, because how I know? Because that's how he created the earth. That's how he never meant for any of his creations to live life alone. Or to learn life alone. Everybody God used in the Bible, he first connected to somebody that knew, that was going in the direction that God wanted him to go. Read it. Go read it. You can't find nobody God used. Even Jesus himself told John the Baptist, Jesus said, I need you to baptize me. John the Baptist said, no, Jesus, I ain't baptizing you. It should be you baptizing me. Jesus said, no, so that we can fulfill all righteousness. That's government. He said, you were here first. I need you to baptize me. Now, if Jesus, our Savior, the one that paid the price, listen to me, the one who paid the price that no other man could pay, the very Son of God comes to this earth and wants to be inside of government and wants to yield to government, then who are we to say we don't want to yield to the kingdom of God? Who are we to say that when God connects us to somebody, we don't want to connect? Who are we? Because Jesus himself said, John, you have to baptize me. You were the one, watch this, ordained to pave the way. You the one that was preaching the gospel about me coming. I need to fulfill what Jesus said. To fulfill, I love it. To fulfill all righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus wanted to do it God's way. Are you seeing this? So Jacob had to understand he had to yield to the government of God in order for the blessing to flow. Now watch this. A lot of times we look at the blessing and we only see the blessing when it comes to money and prosperity. But the word blessing means to empower. It means to empower. The first thing Jacob asked for, you read it, the first thing he asked for whenever that angel touched his hip was for the blessing. Now, wait a minute. How come you asking for the blessing and you already have the blessing? What he now was asking for is, I am now out of my comfort zone. I need you to help me and empower me to do what you've called me to do. And because of that, that's when he crossed that river with that one staff. When he crossed, he became two companies. Because results of the blessing is material wealth, and it is overflow, and it is an abundant life. But the purpose for, thank you, the purpose for the blessing is to empower you to do what God has called you to do. But church today only sees the blessing as a means to financial gain. That's our colloquialism. You know how we use the word bless? When you say I want to be a blessing, you ain't really talking about you empowering somebody. That means you just want to give them some money. Oh, I want to be blessed beyond measure. Well, if you really want to be blessed beyond measure, then you got to be willing to pay a price beyond measure. Are you seeing this? See, Jacob had to not only receive the blessing, but he also had a price to pay. There were some sacrifices he had to make. There are some things that he wanted to do that he couldn't do because it wasn't what God wanted to be done. Thank you, sir. So this is why we have to understand as you shift and you begin to understand the government of God, it's not, I promise you, the government of God is not going to line up with what you thought. If it lines up with what you thought, then you'd have done it already. If it lines up with what you thought, then God need to be talking to you about what he wants to get done. He need to be asking your advice. He need to be getting advice from you on how this thing's supposed to, how it's supposed to happen. So the government of God, but I promise you, if you yield to the apostolic, to the government of God, to how God has things structured, if you can yield to that, you will wind up being in the most prosperous, the freest, the most happiest, the most joyous place that you can ever be. You'll get to a point where people begin to try to, challenges come against you, and you're so into what God wants that the challenges don't even faze you. That this is just another challenge. God, give me a word. God, let's run right through this. Because now you can really say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you seeing this? Let me read this one last statement in this chapter. Let me find it real quick because I wanted to read it to you. The last statement of this chapter sums up this book in this one sentence. And this is what we're going to be working on. This last statement in this chapter, in chapter 1. It says, we are only ready to be a blessing to the families of the earth after we have acquired the blessing according to our birthright. Then the church will be able to summon all her sons and prophetically align each one into their destiny. Chapter 1, last statement. You want to underline that statement. I'm going to read it one more time. That's a powerful statement. Because this is what we're going to work on this semester in this class, this year in this class. We are only ready to be a blessing to the families of the earth. That's what he told Abraham. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. Until all the families of the earth are blessed. Until all the families of the earth are empowered. Not just got money, not just abundant life, but they are empowered to do what I've called them to do. We are only ready to be a blessing to the families of the earth after we have acquired the blessing according to our birthright. Then the church will be able to summon all her sons and prophetically align each one into their destiny. All right? So meditate that statement. Because that's what this book is all. That's what we're going to be working on. We're going to work on aligning ourselves so that we can walk in the destiny that God has called us. I can't empower you if I'm not empowered. I can't empower nobody else if I'm not empowered. I can't go around talking about be healed in Jesus' name if I don't understand the healing name of Jesus. I can't go around talking about you should prosper if I don't really understand prosperity myself. So we're working on, watch this, becoming empowered so that we can be a blessing and empower others. All right? So I'll see you next week. We'll be together. Have any online students, online students, if you have any questions, be sure to email me. Be sure about this class, be sure to email me. Any questions about the quiz, be sure to email me, and I'll be sure to get back to you. All right? Also, all your tests, I know I mentioned it before, but I want to be clear with it. All your exams are going to be online. So as we get closer to the exam, I will give you hints on how to take the exam. You'll be able to print the exam off. Those online, you'll be able to print it off, sit it right next to you while you're reading the book. This is why I'm going to have to read it. It does you good to go ahead and read the chapter now. In this training center, you're going to have a lot of reading to do. She said, I see that. It's a lot of reading. But I promise you, when you read and you begin to absorb this information, you're going to begin to see gradual changes in your life. Things that you've been trying to deal with for years, God going to begin to deal with them things for you, because now we're understanding we have to get out of the way. All right? So you prepare for your next class. Your next class is starting about another 5-10 minutes. Be sure you sign the roll, too.